Welcome to At a Crossroads with the Naked Podcaster, where we bear it all emotionally and spiritually. This podcast is designed to support and uplift you as a Christian. I'm your host, Jen Taylor from momof18.com. Each week on the podcast, I'll bring you an inspiring message to support you in designing and creating a vibrant, fulfilling life. Before we dive in, please visit all of the links in the communities as this is a live broadcast. Feel free to ask questions I can answer during the podcast. At Crossroads with the Naked Podcaster is for Christians who know that there is more to life and that our true, authentic souls are built for greatness. You are built with strength and love that is meant to shine through during times of conflict and celebration. Welcome. I can't wait to bear it all with you. In my business as a coach for Christian women, I help them to step into who they are meant to be and be inspired by their purpose and God-given gifts. Follow the links to sign up for my free training on how you as a Christian can begin to design the life that's meant for you. Reach out to me at any time on momof18.com.
Hello and welcome, Susan.
Hi, Jen.
I didn't even ask you about the pronunciation of your last name, Bratton.
Yeah, that's because it's so easy, Susan Bratton.
All right, perfect. I am so excited to have you on. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm fantastic. Thank you so much. Yes, doing very well.
You have three websites. One is betterlover.com. One is personallifemedia.com. Everything's linked already in the show notes. And one is susanbratton.com. So jump in on all of these and just jump in.
Yeah. Well, I'm an intimacy expert to millions. That's my title, if you will. And what I have been doing for the last 15 years, and I work with my husband of 30 years, he and I have been publishing passionate lovemaking techniques and bedroom communication skills. And we have a second company called The 20, which is a supplement company, actually. I don't know if you can see them or not here. No. We have supplements for libido support. And what I really like to do is I like to help people transform having sex into making love.
Hmm.
And we are given some sexual education, mostly around procreation, safe sex, et cetera. We get a little bit of information about our anatomy, not enough. And I'm an anatomy nerd. Genital anatomy is fascinating and really is a very big part of the difference between the masculine and feminine operating system, if you will. And so I do talk a lot about how to understand the difference between you and your partner and get more compassion for the other one, the other person you're in your long-term relationship with. And I really strive to teach people how to connect their hearts, how to connect their spirituality to their sexuality, because I think that our sex life is a God-given gift, mm-hmm. just like the love of friends, the love of our family, the pleasure of cooking and eating food together, walking in nature. These are some of the fundamental things, our health, that really make life on earth so special. And I know there's a lot of repression and shaming and lack of knowledge and information. And so I'm one of those people that over time has grown into my courageous heart to help people have the intimacy, the connection, and the pleasure that is available to all of us. So that's who I am and what I do.
I love the conversation of sex. And I mentioned this when we were in our pregame, because I feel personally, it's my opinion, women don't talk to each other about anything enough, but especially things that are specific to women, you know, and sex is one of them.
Yes.
And I am 150% a firm believer that you can have a sexual trauma in your life and still have a very healthy sex life and love it and want it. And that men, you know, we can have the same number of sexual partners and men are studs and women are sluts. And I hate the stereotypes behind women just embracing their sexuality and being comfortable with it and okay with it and wanting it.
Yeah.
It was a God-given gift. My libido is a God-given gift.
Yes.
And so I'm so excited to jump in. So I'm sure this is part of your story, but how do you become this title? How do you become, I mean, intimacy
expert to millions. Yeah.
Yes. To millions.
Well, the millions, I mean, that's took a great many one. Years, but the intimacy yeah. expert, I didn't start out as an expert. I actually started out publishing the work of my mentors, who were the people that helped me learn how to enjoy sex. You know, I love that saying, your greatest wound can become your greatest gift. And for me, it was definitely the wounding of my own sexual traumas that led me to want to learn how to have what I almost thought maybe what couldn't be had or wasn't real. Mm-hmm. There were many times when I thought to myself, all these people talking about how great sex is, how come? What are they doing that I'm not doing? What do they know that I don't know? Are they lying? Are they pretending? I got paranoid at some points right. in my life where I thought, oh, well, maybe they're just lying. And then I realized, no, in fact, sexuality is definitely learned skills. You know, we can kind of figure out how to make babies in the dark fumbling around, but right. making love takes education. And unfortunately, we don't learn it from our parents. And I actually think that's fortunate. You know, it's our parents' job to keep us safe, but not to teach us how to make love. And as kids, we don't really want to even hear that from our parents. So mm-hmm. there's a place in the world for someone like me who is against pornography, actively, okay. vocally, and for heart-connected, passionate lovemaking. And how do you learn these things? And I honestly have the easiest job in the world, because the minute I tell you what to do, you go, oh, okay, I can do that. And you go do it and it works. So my job is super easy, because really what I do is I just tell you what you need to know, raise your awareness, give you the information, show you a few pictures of some anatomy and things like that. And then you're like, oh, I got it. Thank you so much. So I get to be a hero for a lot of people just by telling them what to do, which is great. It's a pretty easy job. And I had had a lot of sexual trauma. As a child, I was abused by a stepfather. I was pregnant the first time I had intercourse, and I was using contraception, and I still conceived. I had a lot of very, very bad sexual experiences, everything from near date rapes to a guy who said, get up, get your clothes on and go home. You're terrible in bed and I'll never see you again. And I thought at the time I was so wounded, but then later I was like, hey, it takes two to tango, Buster. You know, maybe you're not so good either.
Amen. High five. We're high fiving that one.
Boom.
That's so true. If anybody tells you that you're not good in bed, there, yeah, that's a mirror.
That's right. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah,
it is. I know that now as my grown-up self. The other thing that happened was that, and this is what happens to so many marriages, my husband and I were together for 11 years. And on our 11th wedding anniversary, I said, we're not happy. We're living in a platonic relationship. I'm avoiding you for sex. You're begging me for sex. You're miserable. You're emotionally checked out. What's going on? And I didn't say it exactly like that. I'm shortcutting what the realities were in hindsight. Mm-hmm. Whatever I said was probably super dumb and, you know, sophomoric or whatever, but it was the catalyst for us to begin to look at our relationship and to say, okay, our sex life is not good. I had never orgasmed from intercourse in the 11 years of our marriage and the 12 years of our relationship. And this is what happens. They call it the orgasm gap. Have you heard that term?
No, but I love that term. Let's chat about that.
What it means is the difference between how easy it is for a man to achieve a climax from intercourse and how difficult it is for a woman to. That's the gap that we're talking about.
It's massive.
Massive. Because often the men's number one sexual issue is premature ejaculation. They don't have the stamina they want. Women's number one sexual issue is anorgasmia. They can't get to climax. Mm-hmm. So we've got this big gap between the way our anatomy works and the way we approach sex. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been trying to fix going on 15 years this month. And that was my big problem, was that I just really didn't want to have intercourse anymore because it just wasn't satisfying for me. And there are a lot of women who I think say to themselves, well, I like the closeness and I like the intimacy. And I'm like, girl, you just need to have a decent orgasm and then you'll know why it can be so much better. A lot of people are working on a very low level of satisfaction and willing to accept it. But ultimately, I feel like every time you make love with your husband and you don't have fabulously satisfying sex, you are creating another brick in the wall of your future sexless marriage, mm-hmm. your lack of desire, because someday in the future, you're just going to be like, I don't really want to do it anymore. It's just no good for me anymore. And it could be good if you just learn some simple things, because what happens with couples is, and this is going to, I know this is going to strike a chord for you. So many times she thinks to herself, well, I'm just not the kind of woman who can have orgasms from intercourse. My clitoris is too far away from the opening to my vagina, or a million other things women have made up in their heads. And then their husband's like, well, maybe you just aren't. Okay, well, we'll just do the best we can do. And then they end up just having very mediocre sex, not for the rest of their life. And the thing is that our sexuality is a gift from God. It is our destiny. It is our creativity. It is our lust for life. It is our passion. It is our drive. It is our pleasure. It is our connection. It is our joy. And we're born sexual beings and we die sexual beings. We're here on earth to procreate. It is our fundamental directive. You know, biologically, we're just wired to do it. And if we're doing it and it's not incredibly pleasurable, and we can learn how to so simply make it incredibly pleasurable, that's where Susan Bratton comes in. Okay, tell me what I need to do, Suze. What do I need to do to cross the chasm, bridge the orgasm gap? How do I help?
Chasm, that's
right. Exactly. How do I do that? Because if you're in a relationship, if you're in a long-term monogamous relationship with a male-bodied penis-owning partner, he's going to want intercourse. And if you know now, oh, okay, you mean I can learn how to really love it so much that I'm driving him crazy, making dates for us to make love? And I can do that and anybody can. And I say, yes, 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 yes. Then that's where I want people to be. So thank you for having me on.
Yay.
To talk about sexuality, because for many women who are listening to our conversation right now, they're like, wow, I guess I was, are you sure? Can you really, you know, like, oh, really? It's just a learned skill. No, I have to be the only exception to the rule. You know?
Right. Right. Well, and I think women don't ask questions. And so I want to, can I share an experience that I had?
Please.
This was so great. I had had sex and it started out horrible, you know, traumatic. And I didn't have an orgasm. I knew I wanted sex. I knew sex felt good, but I knew like I was really amped up and had nowhere to go. And I had a really great male friend who said, I know I can give you an orgasm. And I was like, I don't even feel that way about you. And he said, I don't feel that way about you either, but I know that I can do it. So in a very logical conversation, we decided, okay, go ahead, like give it your best shot. And it was oral sex and I had my first orgasm and I was stunned, like stunned. You don't know what you're missing out on, right? And I was 18 and he said, he just looked at me and said, if you don't know how your body works, you can never expect a man to figure it out.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. Okay. But I had no idea how my body worked. No idea. I just knew that I was like super in the mood to have sex and very unfulfilled at the end. I was even more in the mood after it was over because I had no release. And that was the single, 2 weeks later, I said, can you do it again? And he said, sure. And did it again. Like high five me on the way. Like legitimately, there was no sexual chemistry between us. He just knew how to do it.
Yeah.
But that, what he said to me hit me so hard. And I think women need to realize that you can't expect a man to do something if you have no idea how your body works. Like it is, there is some amount of like, no, I need you over here a little bit, or, you know, we need to know our bodies. So can we touch base on what your thoughts are on that?
Yes. I have a free gift for your listeners. It's called the Sexual Soulmate Pact, P-A-C-T. Okay. And one of my top selling books, I've written over 35 books and programs and published the works of my mentors, but this is Sexual Soulmates. I believe that sexual soulmates are co-created, not divinely ordained. I don't think there's someone out there who is your sexual soulmate who's waiting for you. I believe that through good communication, presence, creating comfort, and a number of embodied ways to connect, looking each other in the eyes, holding each other, good touch, things like that, you can develop your great sex with any partner. And one of the techniques that I have in the book is the Sexual Soulmate Pact. And you can get it at sexualsoulmatepact.com. Would you mind typing that into our chat window for everyone for me, Jen, please? That's a free download. And what it does is it solves a couple of problems. The first thing that it does is it solves the problem that I don't know what I want. I just know what I'm getting isn't it. Or I don't want to tell him what I don't know what to tell him because what he's doing is okay. It's not great, but I don't have a better thing. And if I give him feedback, he's going to get his feelings hurt. He's going to contract. He's going to get a ding in his ego. And I don't want to deal with his whiny junk. It's just like too much trouble for him to be all like, you know,
right.
So, what the Sexual Soulmate Pact does is it does a couple of things. The very first thing that it does is it teaches you a ninja technique to get your partner to love your feedback. And it teaches you another technique to trust your body wisdom and to begin to hear what she's saying. And she'll tell you what it is that she needs in the moment. Because one of the things about the Soulmate Pact, the Sexual Soulmate Pact, is that we women are running on a 28-day cycle even after menopause. We are women who run with the moon. We our menses ebb and flow, and our hormones ebb and flow. And there's about a 5-day window of estrus where we have particularly high desire, and the rest of the time, we need much more warm-up. Much more full body touch, much more romance and holding and caressing. And I always say, oh, I don't have my little kitty cat here. I have this little stuffed kitty cat. And I put a little lion's Halloween costume on this little stuffed kitty cat. Because I like to say, sometimes we're a lioness and sometimes we're a kitty cat. And it changes for us all the time, which is very confounding to our male partners because they're testosterone dominant instead of estrogen dominant. And so they get a hormone bath every morning of testosterone, which makes them desirous every single day. Much more so than we are. We're much more in this lunar flow.
Right.
And so because we always want something different, what I want women to understand is that what he did to you the last time you made love that felt really good may not work this time. And that's normal. And your body will tell you if you listen to her, oh, I want more of this. I need to be held. I want my hair stroked. That is too rough. Oh, you're scratching me. What the light is too bright. I'm too cold. Whatever it is, you can tune into your body sensations and into your intuitive body wisdom, which is always with you. And listen to her and then give her voice. Give your body voice to your partner who becomes eager to get that information because suddenly he's winning. He's doing a great job because he's getting the information that he needs. So it gets that conversation started in a confident and comfortable way. And the pact itself is something that can be downloaded and given. You can give it to your partner and say, I'd love you to read this and then I would like to talk about it. Or we're going on a car trip and I'm going to read it to you and then I'm hoping we can discuss it. or however is right for you to approach having a fluid conversation behind closed doors with your partner, because ultimately what it's doing is it's empowering you to trust yourself, and it's empowering him to give you the pleasure he so desperately does want to give you. So I think that is a really big thing. If there's, you know, what I do is create passionate lovemaking techniques. I teach pleasuring skills, orgasm skills, communication skills, and I also teach sexual health, anatomy, understanding our operating system. And I think the Sexual Soulmate Pact is probably the single most important thing that I've ever created, because once you can talk about what you need and understand that it's a changing landscape, and that's perfectly reasonable and normal, it empowers you to begin to get good in bed together. And I know that this week, when I made love with my husband a couple of nights ago, I was blown away at how great the sex was. And we've been together for 30 years and I'm 60 years old. So I've been having what I like to call getting on the upward pleasure spiral, where sex keeps getting better your whole life long because you've had time to get good together.
Wow. I mean, doesn't that give everybody hope that it's not this insurmountable, horrible, awful thing you have to get through, and there's nothing wrong with you, and you're not broken, and all your parts work, and and to take that step back? I think it's partially, I love the pact, because you have to really think about yourself and what you need and what you want and how you want to ask for that, on top of the fact that it's this other person that's involved too.
Well, one of the things that I think is really important, I've recently, you mentioned my website, betterlover.com, and that's where I have a lot of videos, and it's an indexed and searchable website. They're all free. And I'm really excited because I'm about to launch two new videos. One of them is called Step-by-Step Passionate Lovemaking. And the other one is a video called Yoni Massage. And have you ever heard the term yoni?
Yeah, I have.
I like that term. The term yoni comes from tantric lovemaking, spiritual lovemaking, lovemaking that brings heart, not just friction, to the equation of sex. Right. I'm all about heart connection and being embodied, being connected to your lover, having ecstatic states of bliss that you enter into together. And the what a yoni is this tantric lovemaking word for our female genitals. And I like to think about it as a flower that blossoms as you age and you become more comfortable with who you are and you let go of body shame and you get better in bed and you just sink into who you are and your essential self as a sexual being. And the commensurate term for the penis is lingam, L-I-N-G-A-M. So the yoni and the lingam. And yoni massage is super duper 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 important for us women, because our masculine partners, the way blood flows in our genital system is called hemodynamics. And the masculine has very fast acting hemodynamics. His penis becomes erect very quickly. Where we have the same amount of erectile tissue in our yoni or vulva as our male body partner does, but it's much slower to get engorged or erect or tumescent. These are different words for the same thing. We have, and I'd love to show you a couple of pictures here. We have this, if this is our vulva, let's see, can you see that okay? I'm trying to get centered here for you. You know, you've got the mons and you've got the clitoral hood and the clitoral shaft, the clitoral tip, the outer labia, the inner labia. The opening is called the vestibule. This is where your urine comes out. That's called the urethral exit. And then this is the vaginal opening. And then the G-spot is up inside as well as here, right around this area. So that's the outside. But this is what it looks like inside. It looks like this. I'm going to peek up around here and get this straight for you. This is all your erectile tissue completely wrapping the opening to the vagina. So all this stuff is plump tissue. And that's the same amount of tissue that's inside a man's penis. And he's quick to get all that blood flow, and we're slow. I always say that the woman's vulva or yoni is like an English muffin. It needs, you got to put it in the toaster, you got to heat it up, then you got to get the butter, and you got to slather it on, and then you got to wait for the butter to melt into all the nooks and crannies. And so what happens most often is that we're ending up having intercourse on the time frame of our male-bodied partners because they're ready to go. They have that testosterone, they're hornier, they're ready to go, and we get rushed time and time and time and time again. So having a very good yoni massage prior to making love, or getting a yoni massage a couple times a week, whether or not you make love, but just having that always available to us as women. Hey, tonight, after the kids go to bed, can you give me a yoni massage instead of watching television tonight? I mean, some nights you just want to lie down and watch a good show. But other nights, having the opportunity for your partner to get all that blood flowing to your vulva means that ultimately, whether or not you decide to continue on and make love, which should be totally up to you with no pressure at all, because sometimes you're going to get in the mood by doing that, and other times you're not, but you'll never ask for the massages if it's expected that you have sex afterward. So it has to be this agreement. I'm very, very big on having agreements with partners around our sexuality. And this is an agreement that I really recommend for us, is to learn how to completely receive as women. Allow our partners to get in there with their hands and look at us and manually stimulate us and bring blood flow in and learn what feels good to us. Do we want this kneaded? Do we want this stroke? Does it feel good when you run your fingers back and forth across an area? When is it time for fingers to go inside? Not too soon. Slow down. We can train our partners to be much more in tune with our ramp of arousal by having them slow down and learn how to massage our genital system and to bring all that blood in. And then when we have all that great blood flow going and we make love, we can achieve our orgasmic potential much more easily. It's the thing. Asking for what you want and giving feedback and getting good blood flow to our genitals, that's the foundation for having a sex life that you love.
I remember reading a statistic that men on average take 5 to 7 minutes to climax and women take 20. So I'm like, there's 15 minutes of stuff that needs to be happening way before we actually start, because that you can't, and that's essentially what you're saying. And I don't know that those numbers are exact, but
close enough.
Regardless,
it takes me a good 20 to 30 minutes to really become engorged. And I've had what we call an expanded orgasm practice. I've had that with my husband for the last 17 of our 30 years. And an expanded orgasm practice goes a little bit beyond the generalized yoni massage. Mm-hmm. It moves beyond massage and into clitoral stroking that allows a woman to get into an orgasmic experience that lasts for a very long time. So it really helps her become much more massively multi-orgasmic when she's receiving very specific clitoral stroking that we teach in our program called Expand Her Orgasm Tonight, created by one of my sexual mentors, Dr. Patty Taylor, who is an orgasm scholar, a female orgasm scholar. And this particular clitoral stroking technique is, once he's gotten pretty good at just generally massaging you, you know, most men are very good with their hands. They're very good with tools. They're very good with fine instruments. You know, they're very digitally articulate. Mm-hmm. So teaching them how to give a yoni massage and allowing them to learn and giving them the feedback they need, they can move into this clitoral stroking technique at Expand Her Orgasm Tonight. You can learn more about it there. There's some free reports you can download. That's the next level. And that's the thing about sexuality too, Jen. Just like when you teach your women's course at your Crossroads women's course, where you're taking women through, what is it, 4 or 5 pillars that you have? Mm-hmm. You are showing them, start here, now add this on, now add this on, Now add this on. And that's what I'm doing with you right now in the area of your sexuality. As I'm saying, you are slower to become aroused than he is. He needs, I always say to men, you want to know how to be a good lover? Here's what you need to know. Number one thing, grooming. Women don't like a dirty bird. And you're a dirty bird.
Yeah.
Number two, emotionally available and present, not strategizing in your head, not trying not to have an orgasm, but right here with me, heart connected. Number three, slow down. And then slow down some more. And then slow down 10 times even slower than that. And then you might be starting to get slow enough for us because you got to turn around. We're way back behind you. You're ready to go. Dude, we're not there yet.
No.
And that's why when men, I'll finish this up. I'll just finish with one last thing. That's why when men make us offers for sex, hey, do you want to have sex? Do you want to make love? Do you want to have a date? Do you want to go in the bedroom? We're like, no, because we're way back there. You haven't romanced us. You haven't given us a hug. You haven't told us how beautiful we are. You haven't done any of those things for us yet. Like, you want to come back here and get us, big guy.
Amen. Amen. And that's not a put down. And I think it's a very normal thing that men are taught. And you're just asking like, hey, it's not about you being too fast. It's about me being slow.
No, it's both.
So just, yeah. Let's go back in time because I know there's lots of information and a huge part of this, I love that you've already talked about, like at your 11 year anniversary, you were we're both unhappy and it's been another 17. So, but I know that there's a lot before that happened. So let's go back in time and start sharing your story.
Well, I was married at 30. We had our daughter at 34. I was always a career woman. I was in the Silicon Valley. I was an entrepreneur in the high-tech world, go, traveling around, and had really lost connection with my husband. I'd waited through my 20s to find someone. I didn't want to get married till I was 30. And when we got married, we did well for a while, but our sex life waned. And that's when we realized that we needed to learn what to do or we would forfeit our marriage. And I didn't want to get divorced. I didn't want to ruin my daughter's family. I just didn't want to be divorced. My mother had had four husbands and one had passed. And I just wanted to be married to my husband. He was a quality man. And I knew that we could solve our sexual problems. So we started out with therapy and I worked through and healed my sexual traumas with a therapist. And it was with a couple of different therapists and different modalities. And by the way, I have done quite a bit of work on creating videos about healing sexual trauma. I've also done a lot of trauma podcasts where I explain to people the different trauma healing modalities for sexual trauma. So if you just Google healing sexual trauma, Susan Bratton, a number of things will come up on Google that are really essential information. It's very important for people to know that there are many modalities to fix sexual trauma. We don't have time to go into that here, but I've been through the fire and I'm not a therapist. I'm not a psychologist. So I refer you to other types of modalities. What I do is teach passionate lovemaking techniques, how to transform having sex into making love. I'm very clear that my mission is that aspirational educator. That's what I do. Oh, okay. And now you're ready for this. And now you're ready for this. It was funny. I just was editing a video that's coming out as well in this new collection of videos that I offer that's about midlife sexuality. And one of the things that I notice is that people get bored, the monotony of monogamy. People get bored. And one of the things that really helps that I give people are just ideas for fresh and exciting things to do. And there were, I have a video coming out about midlife monogamy and how to have it stay hot with 15 different ideas of things to do. And I guarantee you that 8 of them you haven't tried and the other half you haven't even thought of. And they're not difficult and they're not edgy and they're not weird. They're just fun. People forget to have fun in their sexuality. And so what happened for Tim and I was that we said, okay, we're going to fix the things that we're going to fix the wounds. We're going to come through that. We're going to have compassion. I'm going to have compassion for my transgressors. I'm going to move out of victim mentality. I'm going to have acceptance. I'm going to get back to my essential self and who I am before I was abused. And I got a lot of hands-on healing from my husband himself. And that I think is one of the things that's very, very common with trauma is that our partners actually help us work through our trauma through the love that they provide and the safety that they create for us who've been traumatized. But then we also started going to sexuality workshops. We lived in Northern California. It's the intersection of the human potential movement and sexual awakening and tantric lovemaking and things like that. And we were lucky enough to be able to do that. And we spent $30,000 going to workshops and doing all kinds of things. Money was not our relationship problem. It was sex. And, you know, it's one or the other usually, unless you've married someone who's got some issues. And we went to a lot of sexuality workshops, and though they were extremely edgy, and I had to get naked in a room full of people many times and look at people's genitals and learn about sex and try new things and have strangers touch me, and it was crazy. But what we did and what we learned instantly transformed our relationship and our sex, it instantly transformed our sex life, which instantly created a renaissance in our relationship. And I thought to myself, people are not going to go to sex workshops and get naked and do this stuff. This is crazy. I mean, I am a lion-hearted, courageous woman. And that's when we came up with the idea of starting Personal Life Media and essentially creating things that were not so edgy and you know, difficult.
Confronting.
More just, here's a fun thing to try. Here's some erotic play dates. Here's some really fun sex positions. Here's the expanded orgasm practice. This is what the G-spot is. Here's G-spot awakening. This is yoni massage. This is lingam massage. Here's my steamy sex ed video collection with 200 heart-connected passionate lovemaking techniques. And people loved the work. They loved those things. I started out publishing the work of my mentors, and then I began researching and learning on my own and creating products. And that's really what happened was through the damage that I'd sustained, I came through the other side to have a mission of really helping people make it easy to learn how to have satisfying lovemaking.
I'm glad you did it without having to go to the workshops, because I am not self-conscious and I am very confident, and I don't know that I would want to go. And not because I'm nervous being naked in front of anyone, or I don't think in that situation, you know, if there was someone that was touching you and you were expecting it and like, but I don't feel like that is the path that I would have gone through. So I'm so grateful that you did and you went, wait a minute, we can dial this back quite a bit and help people even more. Because it is confronting to think about, oh my gosh, if that's what I have to do to make things better, I'm not going to make things better.
You just wouldn't do
right? it. Right? So many people wouldn't. No. So many people wouldn't.
But if you're watching a video together with your partner and following along, okay, honey, you lie down and I'm just going to follow along and do the things I see on the video to you and tell you what I'm doing. And you can give me feedback about what you like and don't like. That becomes a lot easier. Or, oh, honey, I downloaded this illustrated guide with 7 stimulating sex positions and I'd like to try this one. It's called Chingalinga.
Most men are going to be like, yes, I'm happy to do that one with you. I mean, really, for the most part, I think, well, I mean, so would I. If that role were reversed and my husband came to me and said, hey, there's something, 150% I'd be on board with that. So
the number one reason that a lot of women, you know, one of my programs is called Revive Her Drive. It's for men in long-term relationships whose wives don't want to have sex with them. And what's really interesting about it is that they buy it because the way I named it, Revive Her Drive, like she's broken, because that's what they think. But I'm so sneaky, Jen.
I had a feeling.
They write to me and they're like, oh, so I got the program and I went through it and I didn't realize how I had given up my masculinity. And I didn't realize that I'd been begging and badgering my wife for sex. I didn't realize that that the reason she didn't want to have sex with me is that it wasn't good for her. I figured if it was good for me, it was good for her. I mean, they come to me and they're like, okay, thank you for you know, teaching me this. But what's interesting is that women write to me all the time and they're like, where's Revive His Drive? Where is it?
Okay. And I say, that was a question. Yeah. Go ahead.
And it's really interesting. There was a book. I don't remember what the name of the book was, but it was a married couple who were psychologists and they did some primary research. They were licensed marriage and family therapists, I think. And they did some primary research and they asked men who had low libido what was holding them back from wanting sex. And then they asked their female partners. These were married couples. Mm-hmm. And it was so interesting because if you look at all of the reasons that men don't want to have sex and what their women think are the reasons, their women can pretty much guess if it's a health issue or they're a workaholic, because mm-hmm. some men are workaholics.
Yep.
Or if they're gay, which is like 3%. Mm-hmm. Of guys that are just in the closet in mm-hmm. marriages. But where the women were completely blind, they had just could not see that he felt she was not sexually adventurous enough and had lost interest in having sex with her because he was bored with her. 64% of men said that was the issue. 14% of women thought it might be the issue. They just couldn't see that that was the reason. So sexually adventurous, one of the things that is kind of a big platform for me is how to have hot sex your whole life long with your partner in crime. I've been married 30 years. And like I said, this week, yep. I was floored at what a great lovemaking experience we had just this week. Like, babe, it took me days to recover from that. It was like, I just had so many orgasms. I was exhausted from it. I have to be careful. I have to manage my energy a little bit. I'm 60 yeah. now. Like, I just can't have that many orgasms in one night and get up the next morning and be okay. There are limits to our humanity. Mm-hmm. But what I realized is that what I like to do is teach people how to have erotic play dates. That's what this midlife hot sex video was about, was 15 ideas for you to have and schedule sex, but don't schedule sex, schedule erotic play dates. Start the couple that plays together, stays together, especially in the bedroom. Start learning new things together. There's so much that you can explore in your sexuality. And that's really what solves the problem of the monotony of monogamy, the boredom, the checked out, the not satisfied, is learning new skills.
I think, do women, when they hear adventurous, get nervous about what that means?
I don't know. Probably some do. It sounds like maybe you did.
No, not at all. I would love that vocabulary. Yeah. I'd be ecstatic if that's what he said. So I'm on a women's running team and there right. are comments when we all are running and talking. And one of them is like, I finally gave in. So he'll leave me alone for 2 weeks. Right. And I said, what is the matter with that relationship? Oh. What is the matter with what you're saying? Right. Like, I would be so irritated if we went 2 weeks. I'd yeah. be chasing him around the house. So yeah. I think that there's this attitude like in that monogamy situation. And here's what I've discovered with my friends who were divorced and probably myself too. If your relationship fails, you're going to start shaving your legs, putting on makeup, looking good right. and wanting to have sex.
Yeah.
So basically all these things you're not doing in the relationship with this person that you love more than anything that you've had kids with, you're not doing. Like, I'm so sad that it's spring because now I'm gonna have to shave my legs. And I was like, I shave my legs every other day because I want to be smooth because it makes me feel good.
Yeah.
And because I feel good presenting myself to my husband. I want him to be attracted to me. Yeah. And so it kind of breaks my heart that if the man came to any one of these women I've had conversations with on my running team and said, you know, I really feel like if we were a little more adventurous, they're already saying things like, yeah, I gave in last night so I can get 2 weeks break without him bugging me.
Yeah.
Something is not right with that situation. So I'm just, that's, I think, why I'm curious if it came down to, I think if we were more adventurous and had dates, they're already trying to put him on for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So there's got to be a way to present it.
Yeah. So I like to help people think about what are those things you can do. Mm. Whether it's getting her lingerie or and making her feel beautiful, or it's trying a new sex position, trying a new position, having sex in a new location in the house, learning orgasm skills, male multiple orgasm, exploring prostate and blended orgasms, exploring G-spot, exploring female ejaculation, exploring expanded orgasm, learning yoni and lingam massage. These are just a few sex toys. Huge fun opportunity with sex toys. There's so many great toys. And when I do a lot of primary research myself, which is why I read a lot of research. Couples tell me that they rate themselves very low on the scale of 1 to 10. They're down in the 9s and 10s as far as doing poorly integrating sexual pleasure toys into their sex life. A lot of people think about sex toys as being something for solo pleasuring. And I do think that there are certain types of toys that are excellent for solo pleasuring, which help engorge the genitals and keep you juicy and turned on and expand your orgasmic capacity and just generally help you become and continue to be a more sexual being. But there's so many toys that can be incorporated into lovemaking, into sex positions and into lovemaking, into intercourse, et cetera, that people aren't taking advantage of. And it's like, that's the easiest thing in the world is to get a vibrating penis ring and make love and practice your cowgirl. So if people thought about it less as I'm confronted and more as, oh, well, maybe if we did something new and fun and of that list, there were three things she said that kind of caught my interest. I'd like to know more about. That's really my job, is to give people ideas. It does come back to that. It's like, I'm sure there were three things on that list that appealed to you. What were they?
Yeah. And how fun. It's fun to have fun. I mean, this is a really fun thing that I'm doing with one person. And I'm happy that I'm doing it with one person, but how can we turn this into something that is long-term so much fun? So I love that you add that in and it's not intimidating. And I go to a functional medicine doctor and we talked hormones last time. That's fun when you're 50 plus. And but she's, you know, she was so fun about everything, She's like, oh, there's this cream I can get you called Scream Cream if you want it. Like out of the blue. And I'm like, I want anything you've got. Like if you have it, I am like, just sign me up. My answer is yes. Because it's so important to become not feeling confronted or I mean, even just like, how fun could this be? What kind of adventure could this be? Because you don't know if you don't know. Try it. Try it three times. I have a 3-time rule because like you said, women are like this, right? So you can try something and be like, yeah, maybe not. Try it again later when you're somewhere else in this. Just try it again. Promise. I love this. What do you think is, what do people come to you the most or what's the biggest issue? You talked about 64% of men want more adventure. And women aren't talking about what they need, or maybe they don't even know what they need. What is the biggest gap? What's your number one thing that people are like, yes, that was what was the best help? What's...
Because I help people around the world, in almost every culture, from 19 to 90, across the gender spectrum, there are a wide variety of questions that people come to me with. Everything from how to safely lose my virginity, to contraception, to STIs, to getting back into dating, to wedding night sex, to how to talk to your kids about sex. Then there's the whole category of, I want this sexual experience and I don't know how to ask for it. So oral pleasuring, giving and receiving. That's a very, very common one, which is, I don't like oral sex. And
oh,
I say,
oh my gosh, really?
And I say, that's only because you haven't had good oral sex yet.
Yeah,
and
amen.
You can learn how to have it.
Yeah.
Husbands who say, I wish I could get oral sex, or she'll maybe do it once a year for me. How do I get her to like it? Well, did you know it's orgasmic for her? Why don't you help her learn how to have orgasms from it, and then she'll enjoy it? Oh, I didn't realize it was. Well, it's not just for you, dude. It's a two-way street. It's sensation delivered both directions. So
yeah.
Those kinds of things, you know, the wanting a certain thing and not getting it. Embarrassment and shame around particular desires, a desire for some particular thing, whether that's a kink or what have you. I'm a pretty vanilla sex type of person. My stuff is pretty vanilla. I don't get into a lot of impact play or bondage and domination and rough sex and things like that, because I just don't think generally that many people are interested in it. I think most people are still in the, how do I blow my partner's mind? That's, you know, let's just start there. There's plenty of people out there that do all the other kind of edgier stuff. And then there are there's a big category, because of my age being 60, there's a big category of people who follow me in midlife, because when you hit midlife, you are kind of at that use it or lose it. I'm facing my own mortality. I see my parents aging and dying. My kids are grown up. I only have so much time left. I want good sex. This is my time.
Right.
And so there's some urgency, but then they start to have, oh, I've got vaginal dryness. I have painful intercourse. I've got incontinence. I'm not feeling the orgasms I used to feel. Or he's got erectile dysfunction or delayed ejaculation or loss of sensitivity or intractable premature ejaculation he's never been able to solve, which is solvable. And I tell men, don't worry, it's an unlearnable skill. So there are the human body issues, if you will, of midlife and beyond, what I do is I have the passionate lovemaking techniques, the bedroom communication skills, and then this entire other category called sexual regenerative therapies and treatments. And what I do is I do thorough reviews and try things myself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's how I got into the supplement business, with my blood flow supplement and my daily multivitamin with libido botanicals in it, because people said, you know, my libido is flagging. And what most women think is, oh, it's my hormones, but it's not. I mean, it is testosterone, but it's not your estrogen. It's blood flow. You're not getting enough blood flow to the pelvic bowl. You're not getting enough engorgement. You can't get the blood down there, and you're losing sensation and you're losing lubrication. Mm-hmm. And so that's actually nitric oxide. You need a nitric oxide booster. Hormones, the estrogen is for the thinning of tissue. Your tissue in your vagina gets frail. Your skin gets thin. You lose the resiliency, the bounce. So you need good collagen. You need good estrogen or phytoestrogens, plant-based estrogens. And you need a good gut. You need good, you know, if you have dysbiosis, SIBO, candida, what have you, parasites are very common with international travelers, and you're not having really good bowel movements, that's actually dampening your hormones more than anything else, because your hormones and your neurotransmitters are produced in your gut.
Mm-hmm.
So they're producing your adrenals, obviously, and they're produced in your ovaries and things like that, but they can't be produced without a good gut microbiome. So for a lot of women, I say, it's not your hormones, It's all the bad sex you've ever had, making you lose your desire for sex with probably some gut dysbiosis. So let's fix those two things, because there's libido, which is your body's health. And if you're not healthy, then you don't have desire. You don't have, you just don't have libido because your health is depressed, and that's emotional or physical or both. And then a desire is how you feel about yourself, your body shame, whatever they might be, how you feel about your partner. Do you desire them or are you mad at them? If you're mad at them, you're not going to want them for sex. And then there's arousal. And the arousal is that piece we started off talking about, the needing the 20 minutes of genital massage and needing to be seduced, which means to be moved toward pleasure, not manipulated, but to be moved toward pleasure. So that's really the combination of things. Those are the things that people ask about. They ask about the physical as much as they ask about the sexual technique and their desire for certain things and how to do things.
I love that you talked, bowel movements. If you're not have my, my functional medicine doctor, I freaking love her because she's so forward in how she just tells it like it is. And she's like, you need to poop every day. And if you're not, there's a problem because your body needs to be flushing out. Like, I can give you hormones and we can balance that. And that, yeah, that could be an issue. It's not going to matter if these other things aren't going well.
Yes.
Very, very fascinating. But, you know, the gut's called the second brain. I think it might be the first one.
I agree.
There's so much tied into all of that. So I love that you went down that tangent. I don't think women realize or think about how much, like candida, you could have something going on that you don't realize that could be largely impacting how you're feeling. It's not just your past sexual trauma or your, you know, your partner rushing, or there's so many parts of this. And I want people to be less overwhelmed because there are answers to all of it.
Yes. Oh, right. That's it. There are answers to everything. And it's funny because one time I sent out an email to all my newsletter readers. I have a sex tips newsletter. And I sent out an email and I said, I'm going to get so many replies because I have hundreds of thousands of people who take my email newsletter. I said, I'm going to get so many replies that I'm not going to be able to answer you individually, but I'm going to take everything in. And I want to hear what it is that's holding you back from having the intimacy that you crave. And the only answer that I don't need is I don't have a partner. This is not about having a partner or not. This is about what is holding you back. 80% of it was health issues and 20% of it was betrayal. They'd been betrayed and they couldn't forgive. And I'll tell you something. Christians know about forgiveness.
Yeah.
And it is taught in Christian religion to forgive. And I think it's one of the most important teachings of Christian religion because we don't learn it anywhere else. We just learn it through our spirituality, through our faith. And it's a major important thing because 20% of people are alone and lonely because they've been hurt and can't get over it. But the other 80%, it was health issues of all kinds, not just genital issues, but general health issues. My husband has lupus, my wife has cancer, whatever it might be. And I thought, okay, how do I help all of these people? I went to bed that night holding everyone in my heart and thinking about, well, I can fix that problem. I can fix that problem. I can fix that problem. I can fix that problem, but I don't have time to fix everybody's problems. I can't scale one human, can't scale hundreds and hundreds of people. And I thought, how can I help them? How can I teach a man to fish, a woman to fish instead of for the fish? Right. And, I came up with something called the Magic Pill Method. It's at magicpillmethod.com. No surprise. And it's free. And the Magic Pill Method essentially teaches you a three-step process to get back to intimacy again, because when people come up against an obstacle, they just stop. They don't know how to fix it. They don't know what the solution is. They don't even think there is a solution. And then they just stop touching. They stop having any intimate, they're not holding each other. They just become platonic. And then their sex life is over. And all they would have to do is do this three-step method to get back to love and connection and intimacy and fun and sexiness, even if there's certain things they can't do anymore. When people can't have intercourse, they give everything up. It's like so black and white. and everything is rainbow colored in sexuality. There's always more things you can do to have fun.
There's always
need to have erections to do it, you know?
Not at all, as a matter of fact. We could eliminate that one and still have a really good time.
Yes.
Susan, thank you. I mean, there's so much information packed. We have all of your contact information. It was really amazing. I love how upfront, of course you are, but I love how upfront you are that we could just have a real conversation. Thank
Me
you
too.
So much.
Right back at you, Mama. Truly the mom of 18. Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I do appreciate your willingness to have a frank discussion. I've found that people are grown-ups and they like a frank discussion. Even if they're a little shocked at first, they're like, you know what? That was actually really interesting and helpful.
Right.
So I just do that, you know?
Yay.
So thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And thanks to everyone who's listened and commented. I really appreciate you being with Jen and I today.
Investing your time with me on At a Crossroads with the Naked Podcaster. I'm so glad that you joined our conversation. If you can take 2 minutes to share this episode with someone you think can benefit from it or it would have a positive impact on their life, that would be amazing. Go to the podcast page to sign up for the free membership site where all guest links are available. This podcast is designed to help you in your struggles. So reach out and let me know what you enjoy or what you would like to see more of. It will support me on the journey of causing a worldwide epidemic of healing, gratitude, and joy. Until next time, remember you are not alone in your struggle. Reach out to me on any platform. I love to connect. You are worth it to me. Have an amazing day.